Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 209, not 109.
No, not 109. Got it right this time. How we didn't notice last week, I have no idea.
I have no idea. Nobody caught it. That shit got published. My name is Christopher Riccio, and I'm here with that lovely voice, Jeff Chorney.
What up, guys?
And Travis Baum.
What up?
And today we're going to discuss the VGAs a little bit. Before that, we're going to do new releases. Man, why do I mess that up? distractions and news. And afterwards, we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. Before that, though, Travis, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, not much. Just recuperating from that rough week of the VGAs, man. After we watched that, I got to tell you, I got a little depressed. Life was looking bleak.
Suck it up.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. You just have to stand strong, stick your chest out, and just suck it up. So, but nothing else really is going on, man. Just sitting back, being healthy, trying to. No cigarettes. I'm keeping that health thing up.
Good. Good for you.
Doing my juice every day, taking my vitamins. My Flintstones kids vitamins are really
nice.
Tasty.
And are they the chewy ones? Are they the gummy ones? Or are they the regular ones?
No, they're chewy. They're the regular chewies.
Oh no, the regular are the chalky ones.
The chalky ones, yeah. Man, yeah. That's the good stuff right there. That's the stuff that where you're warned, like as a kid, if you eat like a whole like five or six of them, you'll just OD and drop.
on
delicious goodness. And they're all, but they always like. Taste like really like yeah chalky and the same and they're almost very tart
and yeah
I don't know and
they're like American Smarties
but like
yeah, pretty
but,
much
but fuck Hanna-Barbera, they must have made millions off of those vitamins.
Oh
right?
Fuck yeah they did.
Well, yeah,
seriously
dude.
Like
they still are. What are you talking about, man?
And they still are. They still make them. Like I
fucking
I,
gummy ones are my son has the gummy ones. He loves them.
I bet you my
are Flintstones even still on TV right now?
I'm sure they're like on like Cartoon Network Retro or something. Really? I mean they still go. I don't think there's new episodes coming out.
Well, no. I meant like if they're like in syndication anywhere or anything.
Yeah, I haven't. I mean, I've just seen them in syndication for the longest time, and I mean, you have to mention the movies. I mean, those are just classic.
Oh, they're awesome
pieces of
who were in those again?
Art. Was it John Goodman and Rick Moranis? It's one of the last things Rick Moranis ever did.
Yeah.
Oh, that's yeah. That was. Oh, that's right. What's her face was fucking Betty.
Gina Davis and Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell is Betty? Like, really?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I watched that movie like 2 days ago, so it's like super fresh in my head.
You watched that movie like 2 days ago?
On
really?
Yeah, maybe like an hour and 10 minutes of it. I don't watch the whole thing.
Oh, so you missed like the last 10 minutes?
Just the last 10 minutes, yeah.
Right.
When it got really boring. Movie's really dark. Real, like brooding undertones of... Just what's become in this life. So anyway, but other than chewing up some Flintstones vitamins, I'm taking my health kick and I'm chasing it down with a cool frosty Coors Light in a can. Got to be the worst thing I've ever drank.
Oh my god,
it's not too bad. It could
You're
be
desperate,
worse.
I see.
Yeah, I am desperate. We were drank that Harp over the VGA night, man. We cooked up some wings.
Nice.
Chris, you were running late. You missed out on the guacamole dip I made.
That's okay. I don't like guacamole.
Well, you saw.
Oh, man. You don't like guacamole?
No. I am not a fan of avocado.
It's so good. But yeah, if you don't like avocado, that's kind of one of the main ingredients, I believe.
Yeah,
pretty much. It's avocado, lime juice, and onions.
Yeah.
So, yes. I mean, I could have given you a bowl of chopped onions and lime juice.
I would have left that off, too.
It always goes down smooth. So anyway, but
just give me some salsa, I'll be happy.
You got to put a good Alfredo sauce up in that shit or something.
There you go. There you go. Now we're talking.
Speaking of going down smooth.
Wrapped it up in a fucking lasagna noodle.
Speaking of going down smooth, Jeff.
I'm drinking a moose head right now.
Ooh, speaking of being interrupted every 3 seconds.
I'm drinking the moose head. I'm not going down. I'm going to start to tone down on the drinking on the podcasting nights because it's not doing well for me when I go back to work. So, yeah, it's not so much the during recording that sucks. It's the aftermath, what happens afterwards where
when you're playing Street Fighter until 4 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'll jump on Street Fighter. So I think actually last week, I don't even think it was Street Fighter. I think I was going to play Street Fighter and then ended up jumping on and some people were playing Halo Reach. So I jumped on that for a bit. And, okay, for those who, like, I know we're not doing distractions yet, but it's more related to what I've been doing other than what's been distracting me lately, but there's a new game type where there's no bloom, and what that basically means is there's no recoil on any of the weapons, so if you're using, like, a burst fire weapon, like the DMR, you can just keep pulling the trigger and the bullet's going to go in the same spot every time, wherever you're aiming. Like, it doesn't have that, where the reticule gets bigger, then you have to wait for it to come down. Yeah, it's not like that much of a visual recoil, but it's more of like a reticule thing.
So basically, it's Counter-Strike in space.
Pretty much, or like the first Halo. So it turns like the pistol and like the DMR into like these death machines. So like, let's try this. We got our ass kicked. I swear to God, it was something like 50-10. And right away we were like, it was all quiet. Went back to the lobby, and then it was all quiet. And all of a sudden, someone said, "Well, I think we found the game type that all the hardcore players play." And then we were like, "Fuck this, let's go play Peggle." So we played Peggle till like 2:30 in the morning. Like at a Peggle party, which was fun.
I'm oddly jealous that you guys play Peggle. And
dude, Peggle's awesome.
That.
I don't care what anybody
says. It was
fun,
man. It was a lot of fun. We were sitting there shooting the shit and playing Peggle, and the next thing I know, it was like 2:30 in the morning. I'm like, oh, God, not again. And we finished kind of earlier last week. Yeah, the multiplayer
in Peggle is genius. Like, there's nothing like it for this game unless you're playing on the Xbox, and it's fun. I remember when it first came out, when I introduced it, I actually played with Jack Bauer and Tanya. I remember playing with
Tanya.
Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Many, many moons ago.
Yes. But yeah, then, so there's that. That's why I'm trying to cut down on that stuff. And then, yeah, just, you know, went to a Christmas party. One of Tanya's old roommates had the gang back together, so to speak. Some people I haven't seen in like, I don't know, probably like 4 years, 3 or 4 years. So that was a lot of fun. It's a lot of boozing it up, a lot of food. We played kind of like a mini version of Minute to Win It. If you guys have ever seen that game show.
It's got that do with the weird
hair. Yeah, it's the same guy who does that eating show too. I can't remember what it's called, but yeah, that was a lot of fun. I just came short of winning it all, actually, which was kind of disappointing, but hey, it was fun. But no, it's been a good week. It's been okay.
Cool.
Getting busy.
All right. Cool. Well, not much going on over here. We had the VGA thing going on, so that's that. I'm reveling in the glory that is, well, I'm not going to say I'm reveling in the glory, but I'm much enjoying the fact that my football team is on a 6-win streak that is going to end this weekend because the Broncos are
playing Green Bay.
They play the Saints?
They're playing the Patriots. They'd probably beat the Saints, but you know.
Yeah.
I swear to God, man, I'm usually an optimist, but like I am such a pessimist when I'm looking at this season. It's like, all right, Broncos are playing again. They're probably going to get beat, you know, and they just keep coming back, man. Their defense is hitting hard. Their fucking kicker hit a 59 yarder to tie the game last week. It's crazy stuff.
I'm going to say the Patriots are, they're similar to the Saints. They're a powerhouse, but when they're flat, they are flat.
Yeah, well, the thing about the Patriots is that they have the worst pass defense in the league. However, the Broncos have like the second worst pass offense in the league. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting afternoon watching that one. But besides that, this weekend, a buddy of mine that lives up in South Carolina has, every year he has a dark beer tasting. And, he's one of the people that got me interested in brewing beer. So, cause he's been brewing for, God, it's gotta be like 10 years now. So he always has like one or two of his own brews. And then, you know, people that go bring different dark beers, so everyone can try. And it's also like a chili kickoff. So that's going on this weekend. So that should be fun. And yeah, I think that's kind of it. Just been doing some Skyrim playing. So, let's move to that. Travis, why don't you start us out?
Everyone's like, oh, fuck, not more Skyrim.
Here we go. More Skyrim.
I didn't play too much Skyrim because I forewent my mage character because I was too tired of getting decimated every dungeon.
Because you're squishy.
Yeah, really squishy. I shoot magic missile. Kill me. I've been playing a lot of the Xenoblades. Still enjoying the hell out of that. I got stuck on a boss for like a good 3 or 4 days, to the point where I had to hit up GameFAQs and just be like, how the hell do you beat this?
You actually put up with it for 4 days and then looked up GameFAQs?
And then looked up GameFAQs.
Wow, dude, that's some willpower.
The cool thing I like about this game is that you get the sense that it's not necessary to grind. Like, you never feel like you have to. You always feel like, okay, well, if this isn't working on a boss, let me go into my menus and change my powers and see if this combination of powers work and everything. Because every character has an affinity, like two different characters in your party, one person will have an affinity to a special ability that that person has. And if, you know, that ability is put off and you hit a certain command correctly, you know, they'll chain off of that and hit like double damage to the next couple of, you know, the next couple of hits and everything. So I messed around with that, and just by messing with the menus here and there and tweaking that, past the boss. And it's just really cool because I didn't have to do any grinding. I didn't have to go any backtracking. Even if you did have to grind, the landmarks that allow you to fast travel are so like forgiving. It's really cool there. Not too much Xenoblade, not too much Skyrim. Finished Saints Row.
Cool.
Yeah, I finished that.
Did you just blitz through the story, or did you do anything on the side?
Yeah, I solved that joint really early on.
Okay. But you can go back and do stuff after you finish it, though, right?
Yeah, and I plan to a little bit. I don't know if it's just after weeks and weeks of hearing people on other podcasts talking about it, or hearing you guys talk about it, or email threads and everything about how insanely awesome this game is. I will say, you know, it's a fantastic game before I even go any further. It's really fun. One of the more fun experiences I've had. One of the best examples of a video game that I've ever seen in my history of playing video games. It's just purely unadulterated fun. And I appreciate that for what it did. Volition did a knockout job. But I'm just not as hurrah over, like, I don't know. I feel like they did all the extraordinary stuff in the first, you know, 25 to maybe 50% of the game. And then the rest of the game, the end, was just kind of like a slow drag to the end. I don't know how to explain it. Maybe it's the ending that I chose, and it gave me just like an ending that was just kind of off and weird. But, the last level I did, like, you go off to a different place, and it just seemed weird. I know what they were going for, and it just seemed out of place. It didn't work. It was corny. It felt underproduced. Whereas the first half of the game just seemed, you know, so brilliant. And I don't know. I just, the second half of the game just really dragged on for me, and I was just ready for it to end. And when it was ending, I don't know. I just felt that it was kind of secluded, I guess you can say. Like, it just felt separate from the first part of the game. Have any of you guys beat it yet?
No, I don't have it yet.
Oh, you don't
hoping
have it yet?
Hoping for it for Christmas.
Yeah, there's just something about that, the last half. Like, I still had fun. The missions that you're doing inherently are still just super fun. But yeah.
You thought it was more front-loaded than anything?
Yeah, way, way top-heavy. And then when it went toward the end, I just felt something was missing. But other than that, that's it for me, man. I've just been playing those games. Jumped in a little bit more Madden. Won a couple of online matches, but, you know, that's
cool.
Expected, I guess.
You didn't play anybody that picked the Lions and threw it to number 81 the entire game?
No. Actually, I had one guy try to, and I just backed out of the lobby.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not gonna play with that broken mess.
So they haven't updated it and like adjusted the stats or anything like that?
No, I checked the tuning. That's one of the cool things. They do regular, you know, firmware updates. Of course, they do their weekly stat changes. They still do
right.
You know, they also release things like, you know, just, you know, regular updates to kind of like change some things in the game. They also do tunings. And the tunings basically when they want to change like minor things in AI, minor things here and there, things that they feel they can't. It's weird how they explain it, but it's different from patching a game.
Right.
It's just something about, I'm not really sure about the framework that they do with the tuning and everything, but it's apparently it's different, and they can change some pretty substantial things in the code. And it seems like they're kind of talking about with the future of like yearly sports games, that tuning's the wave of the future. It's going to be how games are going to be released for, you know, maybe coming in the next generation. It's going to be how games are going to be released on a yearly basis. You know, you get one disc. And then through tuning, and eventually, like in 1 year, you'll pay for that tune. You can choose to buy another retail disc, or you can pay for the tuning, and it'll retune the disc and everything. Retune the stats. It's really interesting what the future can hold for, you know, yearly games. But, you know, they're just kind of starting small right now.
You know, I would think with that type of situation, you've got, you know, especially on PS3, you've got people that are downloading full games now. So, I mean, you could technically have almost the entire game installed on the disc, and any changes that you can make, you can update, straight into the hard drive. Basically. You know, it's a matter of like changing, you could update the graphics too that way. You just, replace textures with new ones and stuff like that. And, the game would pick them right up. So, I think that would be a great model for them, and it would make it great, better for the consumer as well. Cause you have the option to, and then, like every 2 or 3 years, you just release a new game, a new disc based game, and that's it. And then you just stick to tuning for like $20 a year or something like that. I really think that's a better model.
I love the model, and it's one of the reasons why I'm really hoping and praying that the Vita is a huge success. And the only reason I feel that way is because the PlayStation Vita is the first console, easily in the handheld development, but it's the first console where they're really trying to go for the big releases. AAA titles. You have a choice to go, digital, or you have a choice to go. Or you have a choice to, take it to a
physical or digital.
And they're the first to really, really tackle this with the Vita.
Right.
And I think they have the ability to show, if they succeed, they have the ability to show everyone else, whether it's a console or another handheld, that, hey, this is a viable model. This is a model that makes money. You can buy your retail $40 disc, or you can buy your digital $25, $30 version. Your choice, your call. I would love to see that model spread, especially spread to the consoles. That would be a model that would be welcome with open arms in my household. If I can get some cheaper games and just, download them on the fly at midnight, I'd love it.
So that would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. But again, that's all for me, man. So, Jeffrey.
Yo.
Speak to me, man.
Jeffrey!
Blow my mind.
Not much, besides more of the Skyrims. It's more Rayman Origins.
How's that? I heard that game gets really hard, dude.
I'm sorry, I play that.
It does get hard. It gets pretty hard, but it doesn't get like really hard until you play quite a bit of it. So if you're already like that invested by the time it gets hard, you'll probably want to keep going. And it's a good hard, though. It's not a terrible hard. It's a typical platformer hard, where just muscle memory and just memorization of where you have to do certain stuff and where you gotta like kind of slow down on the acceleration button or adjust the jump here or there just comes to you, and you beat that level and you're like, yes! Then you go to the next one, you're like, fuck. Gotta go through it all over again.
Yeah, but Megan and I actually played that co-op and just had a ball. Had an absolute ball. Man, I wish that game had online co-op.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely missed the boat on that one, but
they did. But going back to last week's conversation, I can kind of see where they were getting at. Where we were kind of maybe looking at, like, maybe there's a reason they can't.
For
a $60 title, I can definitely tell. You got to know that conversation came up a few times.
Definitely. Yeah,
and
had to have.
There is, even playing some of the first, the first set of stages with Megan and I. Like, there's some good bit of precision you need in there. And there's a lot of stuff where you can, like, carry your own person, throw them up in the air, or something like that. And, it could be possible that there is some framework issues that they really couldn't get past. But it's hard to believe there would, seeing that, some fighting games can hold, 8-man lobbies, and maybe not perfect, but they can still run a game with all those people in that lobby. I mean, it just seems that it's not out of the realm of possibility that they should have gotten that done.
No, there's other platformers that have co-op.
Yeah.
So.
Like I'm not understanding why. I would love to see some sort of, like, if they don't decide to patch it in, I would love to read like some sort of post-mortem on the development of that game and just know why there was no online multiplayer. It's baffling because the game's ripe for it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine why it's not there.
Neither can I. But anyway, that being said, even without the multiplayer, I think that may have bumped off one of my Game of the Year nominations for this
really?
Year. Really? Yep. I think it very
That's
well might
dude.
Have, because I keep going back to it. Like I said, it's just so refreshing. Like, I'll play something for like a few hours, and even just to play like one or two levels. But I like it that much. I don't know. More games should be, more developers, I guess, should be more like these guys, because it's something that's, it's tried and true, like, form of gameplay that majority of people love, or say they love anyway. And then they release it, everyone's hand-drawn HD sprites, classic platforming with, like, that feels kind of new with some of the mechanics they put into it, and then they throw it out and it doesn't sell. So it's unfortunate. But yeah, it's definitely one of my favorite games of this year. Well, it'll be on my list when we do a show. I don't know right now. We'll see. Give it a couple more weeks, but I'm loving it. PC. I'm playing some Tribes. Tribes of Ascend.
Wait. Tribes?
Yeah, the new one. Ascend.
Wow, okay. I didn't even know there was a new one.
Yeah, it's in beta right now. So they had it was closed beta for a while, and they had like a bunch of other ways and get beta keys, and Captain Harlock's been bugging me forever too, because he had the beta. So I signed up for the beta probably about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago maybe. Never got one. Then all of a sudden they came out and said, hey, if you like us on Facebook, you'll get a beta code. So I guess Harlock got an extra one, so he gave it to me, so we're playing that. And that's it's pretty cool. Like, either of you guys played Tribes?
Oh, no. I was huge on Tribes back in the day.
Yeah, I've never played it.
It's pretty cool. Like, I played a little bit of it back on PC, like very, very little. And the reason I played on PC was because I remember back when I had, when Halo 1 was like really popular, they got a PS2 and I wanted something like that on PS2, and Tribes came out for PS2. And it just wasn't the same as Halo, but it got me interested in kind of like the PC versions, which were definitely better. But it's, you basically play, it's team-based. Objective based, so you can play like capture the flag, and there's another one where you go after like the other teams, like generators or something. I haven't played that game mode yet, so let's stay with capture the flag for now.
It still has jetpacks though, right?
Oh yeah, that's the whole thing. It's like they had jetpacks before jetpacks were cool. They're like the hipsters of like the first person shooters, like with jetpacks, because before like Halo and Killzone and all that shit, Tribes had jetpacks. And the gameplay is totally based on it. So when you're on the ground walking, you're kind of walking kind of slow. But when you're jetpacking around, the whole idea is there's this kind of mechanic called skiing. So what you do is kind of like, the easiest way I explain it to people is if you ever played Tiny Wings for like iOS or anything, you guys play that? No?
I haven't, no.
I'm not rich enough to have an iPhone, I'm sorry.
right. Just your Samsung, whatever new.
Yeah, awesome, it is a sexy phone.
Yeah, so basically, anyway, I'll try to explain it in a 3D way. You basically go up in your jetpack, and if you see a slope in the map, you hold down like a space bar, which basically means it's kind of like you're putting your weight down, and what you do is you'll go through momentum down, hit the slope on an angle, and you just cut like sliding, like you're skiing down a hill. And then if you go down like the hill starts going up, you let go of that button and then hit your jetpack, so your momentum keeps going. If that makes sense, you're kind of skiing along like the maps. Give me some feedback,
great guys.
Don't be a jerk.
It sounds awesome. Feedback. I'm not going to lie. You're speaking my language. I am kind of concerned, though, because I think this is how Sonny Bono died. But
I am
really, really feeling that. No, Tribes is awesome. I do have a question, though, about it. Do you know who's publishing that?
Oh, God. Who's publishing it? I don't know who's publishing it. I know it's High-Res Studios,
It was Sierra back in the day, and, of course, they got bought out by Activision. So I was curious if Activision was publishing this or if they sold the rights to someone else.
I think it's like High-Res Studios or High... I'm not sure who's publishing it. And it's free to play. And then you pay for stuff like getting like more experience quicker or
you pay for
unlocking
jetpacks.
Perks. That would suck.
Jetpacks or premium. You just run around the ground if you're a freebie cheapo.
Yeah, no, it's... It's, I don't know, it's still in beta, so I have to tell exactly what they're going to open up when they actually, the game comes out. I don't even know when the exact release date is. I'm guessing it's soon, since the beta now is pretty much open. It's pretty easy to get a beta code.
Right.
But the game's cool. It's like, you move slow on the ground, but when everyone's, like, skiing around everywhere, it's really fast. And a lot of the combat's kind of long range. And your weapons are, like, I'm terrible with mouse and keyboard. But what's good about this game is because everyone's moving kind of around quickly. And the weapons that are really effective that I found are ones kind of like rocket launcher type ones where you have to kind of lead your opponent. So you have to kind of guess where they're going to go, hit them with splash damage or whatever. If you can hit them right in the air, you get like major experience. But that's what I like. So it's like it's fast moving, but at the same time, it doesn't feel like you have to be pinpoint accurate with your mouse and keyboard while playing. If you want to use certain weapons anyway. Some of the weapons I'm like, fuck, I don't even know how you're going to be able to hit people with these things, but... Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of fun so far. I mean, I've played it a few hours, I guess, in total. And, I don't know. It's free to play, so if you get a chance to download it, go for it. But, so it's coming to Xbox Live as well, but I think that version's on the back burner right now. You're probably going to wait till they kick out this one and see how that does. Because I'm sure on Xbox Live, they're not going to be able to have it free to play. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it, man. Travis is like, that's the only new one that I've played.
Did you play Red Faction Guerrilla, the online portion of that?
No, did not.
That was really good. I got a huge Tribes feel from that because they give everyone jetpacks from the get-go, and that with the really great shooting mechanic that they have in that game, and also the destructible environments to boot were just really, really, really fun. And it was sad that no one really supported that mode because the week or two that I played was just fantastic, and I had to stop because no one else was playing it. But yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm
actually. Tribes is on my radar for sure.
Well, you should check it out, man. I mean, you can probably easily get a code. And it's like, what I like about it too, Chris, like, there's perks and everything, but if you want, like, vehicles or certain, like, weapons, you can kind of, like, purchase them on the map. You build up credits for everything you do. Like, as long as you're helping out your team, you're building up these credits. So say you're like, yeah, I want to get into a motorbike now. Just go to, like, the station on the map where you just, like, pop out a motorbike or, like, a tank or, like, these, like, flying banshee looking things that look like they're from Halo, but I have not been able to fly in one of those because I have not been got enough credits for that. Let's put it that way. Not good enough, but I don't know. I'm fine. I don't know if I'll stick with it though because I cannot play games like that on my PC for too long because I just this cramped up chair. Like I play for like half an hour, 45 minutes at a time, and I'm like, ugh, you just stand up for a bit and do something else. My old man bones can't take it. I need like wrist guards or some shit. Fuck.
Need a back brace.
Seriously. I was young again. Anyway, Chris, what have you been playing?
Not a whole lot to add. I did want to mention one thing about Skyrim because it was a couple things that kind of annoyed the crap out of me. it's like last week we were talking about how great it is even with all the bugs and I keep talking about how it does annoying shit. I was talking to Travis about this the other day and Jeff, one of the things that you mentioned last week is that you haven't seen a random dragon in forever, right? It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Well, for some reason, I don't know why, but there's there's the watchtower that's just north of Whiterun.
Okay.
So whenever I finish up whatever I'm doing and I fast travel back, I'll fast travel back to that tower. And I have run into three random dragons at that tower.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But the first one that I saw, I fast travel. He shows up. He like tries to kill me once. He just does like a flyby real quick. And then he starts going to try and attack something off in the distance. So I go over there to try and, you know, help out. You know, we're right next to Whiterun. So I think it's like guards or something. And, it's a fucking giant. Is fighting the dragon. So I'm running backwards and like throwing arrows up at the dragon. I bring down the dragon and then the giant starts beating me up. So, I take
down
the
dragon by throwing arrows. No, you can get a bow for those, right?
Yeah. Thanks.
Pretty sick ones.
Appreciate that.
No
apparently they're all the rage actually.
Yeah. I heard about that. I'll have to try that.
They're made
out
of glass too. Ain't that some shit?
Yeah. There's some glass.
Fucked up.
You would think that's like one pull. Psh, gone.
Just break.
Done.
Yeah.
They have
armor
strong.
Made of glass too. I mean, how do you stand up to that? Some of the Warhammer just comes around and breaks all your armor.
Yeah. I know. That's stupid.
So anyway, I kill the dragon, and I kill the giant, and my inventory's full. I'm like, all right, well, let me go sell stuff real quick, and I'll come back and I'll loot both of these guys. So I go and I sell shit, and then I come back. The dragon body and the giant body are gone. And
oh, weird.
I thought they stuck around.
Yeah,
you know?
They usually do.
Yeah, so apparently random dragons don't, because, you know, I killed this random dragon, went to loot it, didn't have room in my inventory, so I didn't get the dragon bones and the dragon scales from it.
It might be a cache thing then or something, because like your memory, because I know like the first couple random ones I fought, the bones definitely stayed there, but
and that's
now
the thing.
They're
it's
gone.
Like the one that was in Riverwood, that one stuck around for a long time.
I'm beginning to think that's not a random dragon, because I think every single person I've talked to has fought a dragon in Riverwood pretty early on in the game. So I think it's random in terms of when you get it, but I think it's like it's going to happen.
The one in Riverwood is going to happen eventually.
Exactly, like it's within a certain amount of hours, and with that, if you go there, I think it's going to happen. Because I don't know a single person who hasn't fought one in Riverwood.
It seems like the random dragons are always blood dragons so far for me. Anyway,
yeah, that's
I don't know if that's well. Maybe not, because on the way to the Greybeards, there was a frost dragon that attacked me. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So after that, I started, you know, I like the second time that I actually fought a random dragon, I was like, oh, I don't have enough room in my inventory. I just finished a quest. I always load up before I leave. So yeah. I went over to the watchtower, and there's a chest there. So I opened up the chest, and I unloaded, like, all my shit into it. Mm-hmm. Went, looted the dragon, then went back to the town, unloaded the scales and the bones, sold all the stuff that I didn't get rid of, then went back and picked up my stuff. Okay. So, and when I went back, the dragon bones were gone again. So apparently random dragons.
Maybe the random ones, they don't disappear then. Or yeah. They do disappear.
Then I finally got to level 100 on my blacksmithing. And I went to make the dragon armor, made 3 pieces of dragon armor, got them all to legendary, and then went hunting for dragons because I needed more so I could make some more. So I found.
What did you want to make more of, like, because you only need 4, I guess, right?
Well, no, there's 5 if you count the shield.
So oh, yeah.
I made the armor, the helmet, and the shield because those are the ones that had the best armor rating. So I went hunting for dragons and then, you know, I was like, okay, well, let me do another companion quest and I'll probably run into one along the way. So I'm going to do one of the companion quests. And I run into one, but it's at one of the dragon shrines. So I take this dragon down and I go to loot it and it gives me 1 scale. I'm like, gee, thanks.
1? Oh, wow. Yeah,
I got 1 scale, 3 bones, but 1 scale. I was like, come on, really? But, yeah, but I'm still loving the game. Once I started doing, I probably did what Jeff does after you get a new set of armor. It's like I went to third person and then started moving the camera around. I was like, dude, check out that armor. It's bad.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh god. Yeah. I'll walk around it for a bit. Actually, dude, yesterday I was like, I'm gonna play one quest of some kind of quest in Skyrim, and I was gonna do one of the main quests, but then I came across a Daedra quest in the way, so I'm like, I'm gonna do this. So I did it, got a kick-ass sword out of it, came back, and you know what? I'm like, you know what? Travis saying he's given his, like, his companion something. So I went to Lydia, I started giving her different kinds of armor, and she started wearing them, like, giving her weapons and shit, and I was like, I'm gonna make her a kick-ass thing of glass armor. So I made her, like, a whole thing of glass armor, glass bow, glass everything, gave it to her. She looks kind of ridiculous in it, but I'm like,
you can give your companion stuff and they'll wear it and use it?
Yeah, man.
I did not know that.
I didn't either.
I thought you were the one saying that you were giving stuff to your companion, dude.
I gave stuff to her, but she never wore it.
I must have been talking to somebody else then. Might have been. Yeah, I remember talking to somebody that.
Yeah, I've always used my guys as mules, but I've never. Yeah, I never wore their.
Yeah, if you can give them like armor stuff, and they'll wear them if they have the stats for them or whatever. So like my Lydia's got like a full thing of like glass armor, glass bow, like all legendary.
Well, shit!
Like, she's like a war machine.
Did I sell my legendary shit that I took off? I think I might have.
Just make more.
Dude, have you guys jumped on that Mercurio train yet?
Mercurio?
Yeah, dude. The mage. The mage companion.
No, I still haven't even seen him yet.
He's a beast, I haven't either. Dude. I can't even remember what bar he's in, but yeah, man. He's sitting right at the... right when you walk in the bar, like, look to the left. There's a bench, and he's just sitting there.
So the bar to the left.
Yeah, it's a bar.
Okay.
In...
So that narrows it down to about 15?
To about 15 of them. So go bar hopping and see if you hit up Mercurio.
All right.
I'll give that a shot. Let's see. The other thing that I've been playing is I really didn't play it that much, so I'm not going to mention too much about it. Mm-hmm. But there was Amazon had a deal the other day, Sunday I think it was, for Lord of the Rings, and they had it for $30. So I nabbed Lord of the Rings. Came in today. We're recording on Wednesday, so it came in today. I only got to play it for about 45 minutes, but basically what it seems to be is it takes place alongside the first movie so far, and it takes place outside of the realm of where the movies take place. So it's north of all the well, I can't remember any of the cities right off the top of my head, but the cities where you visit in the movies, it's north of that. So it talks about like the story behind it is like you're actually helping by creating a distraction. Like that's the first thing they tell you about is like your mission is to basically create a distraction so Frodo doesn't get killed on his way to the bar that he goes to in the first movie or the first book, I should say. So far it's typical dungeon crawl hack and slash. So, you know, I guess we'll find out how it pans out. It's not too bad. You got like, you know, when you level up, you get to distribute skill points and, into different, like skill trees. So there's that aspect of it. There's the loot grab aspect of it. So, you know, it's a typical Snowblind. It's just a different view, because Snowblind I've always played from the top down, and this is behind the back. It's a third person. So, you know, we'll see how it works out. So far I'm enjoying it. I don't know if it's going to be enough to pull me away from Skyrim though. So
we'll see how that works out. Are you playing by yourself or are you playing with someone else?
Well, as I said, I just got it today. I've only played like 45 minutes. So I just did single player for a little bit. And you know, we'll just see where it goes. I haven't really put enough time into it to make any assumptions about how the game is or make any decisions about how it is. So we'll see. But that is it for me. So let's move on to some news.
All right, not too much news. Most of the news is going to be probably covered in our feature. But Kid Icarus, it got a release date.
You know,
that game that they announced like fucking the same time they announced the 3DS. It had it pretty much every trade show.
I mean, oh Chris my gosh! Even got to play launch it. Game. Not really.
Yep. Launch window, like almost like literally a year later. It's coming out in March.
Yeah, it's a year after. 25th.
It's a big ass window.
That's a huge ass launch window.
They're doing it within the launch window of the second stick. That's
right.
Of the anniversary
completed
of it.
System. The completed yeah, right. system.
Which yeah.
But so yeah, I'm still gonna buy it. I mean, I can say whatever that's. But it's an unusual date, March 23rd. Let's get this out before end of fiscal year. It's like hurry up. That's pretty
yeah.
much what they're thinking.
Oh, for so. Sure. Yeah. Other Nintendo news. They're saying that Nintendo may or may not be in talks with Retro for doing a Zelda game, or not necessarily actually doing one, but they'd be up for letting Retro do something in the Zelda series. And for those who don't remember, Retro is the people who did Other M.
Other M was Teen Ninja.
Yeah, it's Teen Ninja. Sorry, they did Metroid Prime games.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how they would. That'd be kind of crazy if they tried to put Zelda into a first person, but. I don't know, what do you guys think? I mean, Retro's kind of, they're pretty decent. I mean, they've got a pretty good track record.
I'd like to
so
see
far.
What they come up with, but God, mm-hmm. I just, seriously, Nintendo, just give me a top down old school Zelda game.
How about they put some Americans on that shit? They know how the new generation works.
Give it to Bethesda.
Isn't Retro American though?
Yeah, are they? I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
I thought they were.
I think they are, actually. I think they are.
That's why they went first person for Metroid.
Yeah, there you go.
I am a little concerned though, because there was a report that was put out that said that the producer of Zelda, I can't remember his name, Oenuma, is that it? I can't pronounce it, but he said that he thinks that that the future of Zelda is going to stick with motion controls. He said he couldn't imagine going back to classic butt controls, and that might just seal me from ever playing a console Zelda again after the experience I've been having with Skyward Sword.
Really?
So,
still not having that good of an experience.
Well, that's the thing. I haven't really played it since last week. So I've decided that the next time I play it, what I really need to do is to like stand up in front of the TV and just look like a dumbass and swing the sword around. So we'll see how that works out. I'll probably try that out. Maybe this week. I don't know. Maybe I should do that on the stream and I'll actually put a camera on myself looking like a dumbass. No, I'm not going to do that. Sorry, guys.
Why not?
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Anything
what else you got?
That's all I have. Someone else have anything?
Travis, you got anything?
I got some stuff pre-recording, but I only got a couple of those links down.
Yeah, not too much. It's been like Jeff said, we're going to cover the big stuff during feature, so I mean.
Wasn't there something from Lionhead that you wanted to mention?
Oh, there was a job posting on for a company that does the hiring for Lionhead or oversees like the early applications for Lionhead, had a posting for a MMO-ish type video game for Lionhead Studios. So, I mean, are we looking at a full-fleshed multiplayer Fable game?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm waiting for a full-fleshed single-player Fable game.
There you go.
Should probably do that first. But cool. I was starting to hear some Molyneux impression there, kiddo, but yeah.
Oh, no, he that guy pisses me off. I love him. Love him, though. Love him.
It's not linear. Yes, it is. Shut up.
Not on rails.
It's not on rails.
Yeah, people don't want to hear me do a Molyneux impression. All right, break time.
Yeah. Let's take a break. We're gonna come back and we're gonna talk about VGAs, then we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us and we'll be right back.
You know, when I was a kid, I was a hardcore gamer. There wasn't a single game that I owned that I didn't beat, and I was good. Like, I could beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. One guy. But then the kids came and the responsibilities. I just didn't have the time or the motivation to keep up. My game backlog just kept growing and growing with each new release. I needed help. So I visited the Game Backlog Support Group on VG Evo. They helped me take control of my backlog.
The VG Evo Game Backlog Support Group is a non-profit organization helping gamers relieve their backlog troubles. Having a game backlog is a debilitating and embarrassing predicament. VG Evo is here to help.
I no longer have to lie about the video games I've played. I can finally say with confidence, yes, I have beat Devil May Cry. And you know what? Nero is a whiny bitch.
If you or someone you know is suffering from their game backlog, please contact www.vgevo.com.
And welcome back.
You. Welcome back.
Whoa.
Thank you, Jeff. I know. All right, today we're talking about VGAs. Let's do it. Travis.
Yo.
You got something else?
I guess I'll do it. Hey. All right. Hey, guys. Just thought I'd throw in on the question of the week since I just watched the show last night, says Mike Martignetti. He says, my feelings have changed only a little bit from last year. I thought the writing was less immature and childish than the previous 2 years, but only by a little. Overall, it's still not a good representation of the gaming community. The show was just a commercial as ever, focusing on new games and trailers instead of the actual awards. They managed to give out like one award every 30 minutes and then quickly run down the others in 10-second bits. I'm not watching a fucking award show, so I have to go to a website and look up the winners later on. I'm sure you've seen the bashing by some of the celebs like Mark Hamill, who had terrible seats and no representation at the table or at the show, while people like the Jonas Brothers guy and Charlie Sheen are seated in the front row. That's pretty damn sad, even when the nominees cannot enjoy the show. Throws up some random thoughts. I like how they keep cutting to those women in the front, too, so they can be like, look, we have ladies here. I still
Girls
don't know.
Like games, see?
Yeah, they're not strategically positioned.
No.
Yeah. I still
I'm sure
Brooklyn know.
Decker plays a lot of video games when she comes home.
That sounds great. Mike continues on with some more random stuff. He says, I still don't know how I feel about the teabagging joke. He loves that they brought the bitchy guy from Twitter on in front just to show the world how they bought him out. All those fucking complaints and all he's got to say now is, well, they got Zelda in it. I guess Tony Hawk announced the only game anyone could give a shit about. Metal Gear Rising Revengeance by Platinum for the win, plus the best subtitle ever. And then he says at least they had Felicia Day in it.
It's true.
Honestly, I don't know how you put on a good award show. I haven't seen anyone do it right, but there's got to be a good balance somewhere between the boring Oscars and the ridiculous MTV Movie Awards. If anything, you'd think an award show for games could be the perfect blend of entertainment and respect for the industry. Love, Mike Strife.
Thanks, Mike.
A lot of meat in that email.
Quite.
Let's just cut into it.
So, writing was definitely better this year.
Yes.
That's not really saying much, but it was. And I will say that it was nice that they actually had a host that knew a thing or two about gaming.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Neil Patrick Harris as much as the next guy with gay tendencies, but he just didn't have any idea what he was talking about last year.
No.
Right.
Yeah. So,
Chuck did a real good job.
Yeah. I think Chuck did well, you know, and he knows games. So there you go. What else did he mention? The amount of awards they gave out. That was our biggest issue, or my biggest issue. I don't know about you, but like when we were watching it and, you know, it was like, I think we were like an hour in. It's like, how many awards have they given out? They've given out like one award.
Yeah.
You know, and they skipped over like all the other ones and just like, hey, here's a bunch of things that we gave out earlier that you didn't know about. Go look them up.
Yeah. And it was a shame too, because, you know, there's so many great categories where you could have some really interesting and cool people come up and win and give really interesting acceptance speeches and everything. I mean, I would love to see, you know, if he would have won, I would have loved to see Mark Hamill, you know, go up on stage and accept.
Well, technically he did win, or kind of.
Well, the character won. That's
I mean,
the
he
thing.
Is the Joker.
But it's the Joker won. So, I mean.
I mean. If a character won in an animated series, like the best whatever, it would be the voice actor, or at least, like, you know, go up there. And
exactly.
Like,
and it would make you think, and it's another point that Mike had, you know, said in his email. It's like Spike almost knew way beforehand, like when they were doing the seating charts, that Mark Hamill wasn't going to win because they weren't going to make him walk from the bleachers on the side of the stage to go walk up there and do his acceptance speech. So they knew, they weren't going to showcase his category. They knew that he wasn't going to win. So they just kept him in the bleachers. Like, how do you put Luke Skywalker in the fucking nosebleeds?
So who came up when then? Because he did win best character. Oh, they didn't. They just had the Joker.
They had the Joker.
Acceptance speech. Yeah.
It's kind of lame. They're not going to have it. I mean, it's Spike TV, guys. This is the thing that bugs me the most. People expect something from Spike to give, like, a gaming award show, like, credibility. It's never going to happen. That's why they're going to leave all those categories out, because to the average gamer, they don't care who wins those.
Right.
They don't give a shit. They just want to see the big stuff, I guess.
Yeah. I agree. There was so much good. I mean, as much as we kind of really, really bashed on, because I don't have too much to bash on this year, the lack of categories and, I mean, the lack of, you know, awards given out live. And then, you know, the lack of respect to, like, a lot of the really celebrities there that deserve to be, like, on the floor being served wine and cheese. Aside from that, I overall had a positive experience with it, because I didn't, like, last year, it was like, you know, we had fun. We were all at Jason's house having some drinks and watching it and having laughs. But I just disliked almost everything about last year. So this year it was more enjoyable for me. But last year I felt there were so many good, pure moments. And I brought it up the night we were all hanging out, Chris, but the performer who went on stage with an acoustic guitar, they dimmed the lights, and he has played the song from Red Dead Redemption.
That was one of the best moments in an award show ever.
That was awesome. And it got me so hyped up because I knew Bastion was up for a couple of awards, and I was so pumped. I had it in my head that, wow, we're going to see some Bastion played live. And it's going to be amazing. And they were a footnote in the entire night. And it's one of the most amazing games, you know.
Well, at least they won stuff, and at least they were nominated, though.
Exactly.
Which 3 years ago, that never would have happened.
Yeah. And at least they did win that. And they won like 3 awards, which is awesome.
Something like that, yeah.
But I wanted them to get, because they didn't necessarily get, you know, nationally televised coverage. Their name got mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, I would have loved to see, you know, Greg Kasavin go on stage and accept an award, or someone from Supergiant, because those guys deserve that. They deserve that spotlight, and they just got robbed from it. They really got robbed. A lot of people did, because they put some hard work into those games.
But I don't think they care, though. Like, okay, it's the, I guess some of them might care, but it's the VGAs. Like, I mean, it's like how many, like, sure, a lot of people watch, like, the MTV Awards, I'm sure, when that first started. It's not the Oscars.
Okay.
Like, I don't think they care about the VGAs in terms of, like, respect around the community. And, cause really, if you win a VGA, you're not really getting the acknowledgement from your peers or for people who really give a shit about games. They bring on a panel of game journalists to do the voting, but what they decide to promote and put in the show is not, they want to go for, like, the lowest common denominator of people who are watching this show.
And that is true. I think as an indie developer, I'm trying to put myself in their shoes. If I'm Epic, I don't care. I can see about not caring about that, because you slap Epic's name on it, people are going to buy it. You know, but when you're Supergiant Games or you're, you know, any of these indie, smaller indie developers, that's a big deal. You know, not only is that, you know, really good press that you won an award on a nationally televised television program, but that's also sales. I can guarantee you well over 50, 60, maybe even 70% of the people who watch the VGAs have no clue what Bastion is. If Bastion would have won 3 awards that night live on that show, they would have made some major sales because people would be like, best music, best downloadable game. You know what? I need to try this game out.
I don't think so, because I think the people that would give a shit about best music and best downloadable are the people that are watching the VGAs like us making fun of it, and they already bought Bastion. I really don't think like the amount of people, like the gross majority of people that watch them like the VGAs, besides the people that are the hardcore that watch it just to criticize it, they aren't the people who are going to look into games like that to be like, I'm going to go download that because they told me to, because they can still see that those type of games everywhere, and it just doesn't appeal to them from the get-go. And I really don't think it's not like the Oscars, I can see having an effect on people being like, oh, that one movie of the year, I gotta see that movie. I just don't see the typical, like, Call of Duty player, Madden player being like, oh, this game Bastion won best music, I need to go try that out. Like, I really don't see that happening in the game industry with the Spike audience anyway.
You know, when you put it that way, yeah, it's not gonna happen. But I'm not talking about, okay, these guys won best music, I'll try it out. But they won three awards. They won best downloadable game, best, like indie title, and then best music. I mean, if they would have won all three of those live, you're going to tell me that you're going to sit here and disagree that they would have gotten some serious attention from people who otherwise never would have heard from them?
I don't think it would have been serious. I think it would be better for them to get something at the DICE Awards or GDC or something like that, where, because the game, like, well, Bastion did sell
DICE
pretty
Awards.
Well.
Who watches the DICE Awards, though?
They're not on TV. That's
exactly
the problem.
That's
what needs
problem
to be pressing. But the hardcore community follows the DICE Awards because they're put on, like, all the major sites, whatever, like Winners and stuff like that. And I think that would get, I think that that's a bigger audience for games, independent games, to reach out to first than
but
these are.
I think that that's also the people who've already bought Bastion. The people who will try to tune into if they did a live stream of the DICE program, you know, if they would tune into that. I think those are the people who are already, you know, just, they've already conquered Bastion, you know. Like, I don't know. I think.
Yeah, it's, it can go either way. It's all conjecture. No one could say one for the other. I don't know. I just, because didn't Limbo, I'm pretty sure Limbo won a ton of awards at the VGAs last year.
I don't think anyone went on stage, you know, to thank their wives for.
Yeah, no, I can't remember.
You know, for we'd spend all that time on Limbo.
Or if that was even last year.
I don't know.
I think they'd be more happy. I really don't think they're that, you know, choked up about it, because I really do think the majority of the industry thinks the VGAs are a joke. That people, like, the people actually making the games. I really don't think they hurt them that much.
Right.
Because they've already done what they can. It's
the big thing that makes me wonder, like, what's going to happen. Like, the big thing that makes me wonder what's going to happen between this year and next year is the fact that they actually got, like, Kojima and Miyamoto to show up.
That is true.
Which was big. And that was something I stated last year, too. I was like, because, you know, we're sitting with Jason and Chris, I was sitting with Jason and Chris, and I was like, you know, they need to legitimize this in some way. You know, what would it take to get them to get Miyamoto down there? And I think it was actually Jason was like, yeah, they're not going to get him. Mm-hmm. And to my dismay, because I was at the point where, you know what, yeah, you're probably right. Miyamoto's not going to, you know, fly all the way from Japan for this, you know, cheesy little, you know, notoriously bad awards program. And, sure enough, he came up there. And I mean, again, I'm glad he got the award and everything, but I mean, what? Come on, man.
That's the thing. It's
certainly no fucking award.
Did that legitimize it for you, though?
Did it legitimize it for me?
Yeah.
Not completely, but I think it's a big step in that direction. You know, they did a lot of things wrong this year, but they did a lot of things better. And I think getting, you know, Hideo there, I think getting Shigeru there, I think all that was really, really good step for the future. So, I mean, is it legit right now? No. But
that's the thing. Is the award they gave him even legit?
What did they even give him? I can't even remember.
They gave him, they put Zelda in the Hall of Fame. It's like, whose Hall of Fame is it?
Yeah, I know. They didn't really. Yeah.
They never went into any details. Like, is this the Spike Video Game Hall of Fame? I mean, come on, that's just retarded.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that it was bogus, and I don't know how they got Miyamoto to show up, but.
To me, it's still, when I saw who won, it's still the people who did, like, the people who won were the people that basically they got them there. It's like, hey, you guys came here, you did this for us, you're gonna get an award. Like, the whole character thing, like, how many of those Joker tidbits were done? Like, for him to win character, they had like three or four of them with the Joker just talking, like, you know, and like this, like, I think he's talking to the audience or whoever's there. And like, I'm sure they wouldn't be like, hey guys, Rocksteady, you want to do these, like, then yeah, it's a Joker talking, and you're just going to be nominated, though, so you're going to put all this work into it. Bring Mark Hamill back, do all his voiceover, and yeah, we'll see if you win. Of course he's going to fucking win. And that was, like, a given. Once I saw those, I'm like, oh, well, obviously it's going to be Joker. They're not going to do this for, like, nothing. And that's what I think. That's what I think delegitimizes it. What's the word I'm looking for here? Illegitimizes it?
There you go.
Yeah, is that fact that sounds I good still to me. Think it really comes down to who they can get to the show, and that's who's probably going to win the award outside of the ones that are actually, like, voted for by the media press, which I believe is just Game of the Year. I think. I'm not 100%
sure. Well, that's the thing, though. It's like, I really don't, like, the awards that they gave out, I really don't feel like they gave out an award that wasn't deserved.
It wasn't deserved, no. But I mean, yeah. I'm not saying it wasn't deserved, the Joker one. It definitely was probably deserved, but it was just so obvious that it was going to win. Like, I knew, like, it was just like, there's no contest. Like, I mean, the other characters aren't doing these little things. Like, okay, I think they had one with, was it Marcus Fenix might have said something.
Well, they did stuff with, like, Captain Price. They did stuff with, they did things with other characters.
Yeah, they all had something with each character had a, yeah, each one had one, yeah.
Okay, that's not too bad then. I must have been, like, falling in and out of sleep during those. I PVR'd, I didn't watch it live because I was at the Christmas party, but, eh.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Let's
see
the next email. Let's go to that.
Hey, let's see. I thought the VGAs were okay, says Alex Hedges. However, Spike needs to stop treating gamers like idiots. We can tell if a host gives a crap about games, so choose hosts wisely and don't usher Miyamoto off stage for a teabagging skit. At least the winners actually made sense. Loved Bastion soundtrack. Good. I like that Bastion love. That's good things. The teabagging thing was I gotta say, that was like the only non, like the real goofy, the biggest goofy thing in the show this
year.
Yeah,
most definitely.
Usually they throw like the goofy stuff, like in all the really like the stereotypical gamer dorky stuff, like, you know, all in our faces, and it didn't do it that bad this year. You know, Chuck had a lot of, you know, comments, but they were done, like, the timing was well done, and he did it with a comedic flair.
He knows games too, though.
Yeah,
like, he's a nerd
game,
blog,
right,
he's
good
blog stuff. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, there were some forced things here and there, but for the most part, like 90% of his content was spot on. See,
that's the thing, though. It's like last year was straight up awkward.
Yeah. The whole
thing. It's like I didn't feel like he had. He might have had like one, but I didn't feel like he had any of those awkward moments that they had last year.
Because
last year was just like crazy.
Which year was it when they brought in what's her face, the comedian chick, the one that was married to Jimmy Kimmel?
That was
like the worst ever. Was that only last year?
I think it was last year. Yeah.
She basically went on stage and made fun of like gamers for like 5 minutes. I'm like, that's not gonna make us go yay.
Yeah, really.
Not at all. But the teabagging thing was cheesy. Something like that, I think, would be much better if it had to do with something like to do with someone getting an award. And then somebody who obviously knows games like that was like going off the stage, and then they did some weird thing, then ran up there and did it like it was kind of like a spur of the moment type thing. That would be funny. It wasn't, but it was so obviously scripted. Like even the second time they did it, you're just like, oh God, like this is just fucking cheesy. Like if it wasn't a guy who was set up to do this, didn't they call him like Captain Teabag or something like that
something dumb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I thought that like the people that, so there was one award given out. I can't remember which one it was, but they went kind of long with the thank yous, and dude came up and teabagged.
That's the one. Yeah.
Then Skyrim was up there for like twice as long, and they never did it.
One that they did for the one where we got teabagged, that was scripted for sure.
That would have been great if Todd Howard just got nuts.
Got teabagged.
Just got nuts.
I thought it was really silly. It was funny the first time. But that was it. And after that, it was just
It
like,
was you know. Funny, but it did something really kind of amusing. I think like almost half of the people that actually got a chance to go up and do an acceptance speech all made a comment of, I really need to hurry this up because I know what's going to happen. Like I, those little comments like that, it just makes the acceptance speech fun. It just, you know, it just keeps it more entertaining. And it's like, oh yeah, well, you're going to get balls in your face if you do not hurry up. So that is true. But it kept those acceptance speeches really interesting, and I did enjoy that.
If felt too contrived to me when they were saying that kind of stuff. Well, because it was scripted, dude. Like, you're actually falling for that shit. Like, those guys actually went up there and were like, it was like a cheap joke. Like, oh, you know what's going to happen. But that's what Spike wanted, to be like, oh no, Captain Feedback's going to come up there.
And it doesn't stop millions and millions of people of just enjoying
it. But it's just not funny. That's my point. It just wasn't funny. Even when the developers were making jokes like that, it's like, it's okay. Now they're just kind of like, finally, like, okay, you're basically feeding the stupid.
It got
ass
old
joke.
Quick.
Happened. And the corniest thing of the entire war is just feeding it, and you're just like, oh my
Get
god.
Get off my lawn!
Not at all.
I agree to an extent. I mean, I thought it was, as I said, I thought it was funny the first couple times, but after that, it just got kind of old, and, you know, I don't know. What I did think was, even though it was scripted, I did think it was funny that dude ran off, handed the award to someone else, and he got taken down.
And he got tagged. Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was
that
entertaining.
That was funny. See, that's the
scripted
kind of
or
stuff
not,
that
it was
like.
Entertaining.
Yeah. That was really funny. Yeah. And another thing that I didn't like too much, I aired my grievances of this that night as well. But like, you're going to get a great correspondent to your stuff, like Felicia Day, and you're just going to have her do stunts all night. Like, I just don't like that. Like, put her in the audience. Like, get her on the floor talking, like doing a quick little aside with, like, a developer and interviewing them. Like, you know, you're up for this and everything. Tell me how you feel. Put more emphasis on those awards. What the fuck did those little, you know, those little stunts do? Yeah, they're saying they're doing it for charity, but they're not talking about how much money they're doing the charity. Did they even mention the charity they're actually putting it to?
Yeah, like, they think they did. It was for
it's a child's play. It was
for child's play. Yeah.
But regardless, like, okay, that's great. You're doing stuff for charity, but like, it's doing nothing for the show. Like, it's doing nothing for the show and what they could be using someone like Felicia Day is for. I don't think there's one person in the entire world that dislikes her. So use her well. She's the perfect candidate to do that commentary, you know, as a great break in between the show. Put her in the crowd. Have her interview, you know, these developers real quick. You know, things like that would be fantastic. And they're just misusing her.
Again, Spike TV, dude, the demographic isn't hardcore gamers. I bet you half the people who are watching don't even know who the hell she is.
No, the demographic is testosterone-filled people who play nothing but sports
games
or
Call of Duty.
Spike TV!
Okay,
exactly.
Okay.
It's like,
okay, so
they're going to be like, Felicia who? Like, what is this?
Okay, so they're not going to care about her interviewing for 2 minutes the creator of Modern Warfare, but they're going to give a shit about a no-hands cupcake eating contest.
Probably
the mentality level of those people.
They're gonna be like, it's a chick eating cupcakes.
No,
versus,
and you know what? I've never ever thought once, you know, it'd be hot, chick eating a cupcake. That sounds
well,
pretty cool.
Well, again, you're not separating yourself, Travis. You're looking at it from our perspective only. You got to look from both sides of the fence.
I've been that demographic before, and I've never thought of that being entertaining. So, like, what's the
Not necessarily that, but okay, if you're watching any kind of voice or any show, period, and you see somebody you don't know interviewing somebody you don't know, how much of a shit are you gonna give? Probably none.
You can't please everybody.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying keep, because you're asking why would they misuse her, why they didn't use her properly. And I totally agree with that. But then again, it comes out to it's Spike TV. Of course they're going to do that because they're going to cater to the lowest common denominator, which is the highest market, but they're not going to cater to the people that know why they're watching an awards, a game and award show to begin with, and have them be like, let's have a whole bunch of like inside jokes. Let's have a reference even past stuff she's done, have her interview the producer or the composer for, say, the person who did the music for Bastion. Because the majority of people watching the show aren't going to know who she is or who this person they're interviewing is. So instead, hey, we got a chick who's attractive to come on the show and do some like hosting stuff, do whatever. Let's just have her do dumb stuff for charity. Because sad as that is, at least the people watching could be like, huh, it's cool. They're putting cupcakes in their mouth. It's, I don't know. It's just,
whoever thinks that should die in a fire.
Well, producers of Spike TV, I guess, and whoever produced the VGAs.
Yeah, I know what's hot right now, the cupcakes. Let's do cupcakes, and the chick's eating them, and we'll
or
put
jumping
that
on a
in the middle of the trailers.
Wall.
That sounds like a good idea. Yeah, great job, sentient lump of poop that runs Spike TV. Good job.
There you go. That's why I had literally no expectations. I don't see why people get upset about the VGAs. I'm like, it's Spike TV, guy. Like,
yeah,
it's what
I'm definitely not
see.
Upset about it. But
it's stupid. Like you see people raging. I'm like, why? It's who cares? Like, I really like it's
like the dude that got it that made the YouTube video and ended up on that. That was
retarded. Yeah. That was so dumb. Like, and they accomplished nothing.
Now everyone is going to do it. You know,
and to be honest, I didn't even know who that guy was when I was like, "What did he do?" Oh, he ranted on
He's
Spike.
Just some dude who made a YouTube.
Could have been anybody.
Shit, I'm sorry. Let me delete my YouTube video real quick. Apparently, that's not cool.
Yeah. All right, let's move to our next email.
It could have been you. You just had to get it out there sooner.
Before we go to the next email, Lynx Lapdance jumps in and says he's disappointed at the lack of Dark Souls and or Witcher 2, but I guess that goes more into the demographic conversation we're talking about because there's no first-person shooting in those games. Sean Recupido comes in and says, awards shows suck in general. They are full of canned speeches from so-called celebrities. To be honest, I have it on my DVR, but I would rather spend my time catching up with podcasts after finals week or actually playing video games.
There you go.
Do I really have to watch a popularity contest with faux celebrities to know which gamers are good? I can decide that for myself, and I have you guys. Aww.
Thanks, Sean.
I feel loved.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Quick, Travis, eat some cupcakes. I'll challenge you.
No, better yet, put on a Velcro suit and jump against the wall.
Yeah.
That actually looked kind of fun.
I'd do it. I even said it to him like that. It looks fun. It's Jesus, I'd do that. I'd totally do that.
I'm not going to lie. I would too. I am 100% in agreement. Award shows almost always suck. I really don't expect much else out of Spike TV with theirs. But the one thing I am glad to say is that they did improve over last year. I would have liked to have seen more awards, but it was better than last year's embarrassment, I guess. Yeah. Because 2 hours that it went on, I was relatively entertained.
Yeah. You know, it was fun.
So there's that to say.
And those wings were good too, man.
That beer was awesome too.
That was
nice. I guess the one thing that I would say is that if they really wanted to, if what would have improved it in my eye, get rid of YouTube, dude. Get rid of the fucking Jonas Brothers, dude. He doesn't belong up there. And you know what? Every time, like in between each of your little entertainment segments or announcements, give out an award. It doesn't have to take that much time. Just do it.
Yeah.
You know?
See what happens. I mean, you're gonna get two audiences no matter what. I mean, judging by the way Twitter was going, you're gonna get the hardcore gaming audiences to watch because they want to see a train wreck happen. So they're gonna watch it either way. And the people who are used to watching the VGAs from past, whatever, like the guys, the casual players, whatever, they're gonna watch it too. So 1 year, try it out and see what happens. It's not gonna get any worse, like really. Well, I guess it could technically now, but
yeah,
it's worth a shot to do it that way anyway.
What disappoints me almost the most about the VGAs, like I really, 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 in terms of people in the industry, people that like I kind of respect and like I see as someone who like just gets this industry, is Jeff Keighley.
Yeah,
like, I really, really dig his work. I like his commentary whenever he has something to say about video games. I like to listen to him. He just has a lot of interesting things to say. He's more than just a host of some, you know, video program. He knows his shit. And I was really, really, really disappointed to hear that he was actually the guy who actually had the reins for the VGAs this year. Like,
he
kind of did.
He was only in charge. They had the same thing that Game Trailers always is. His job was basically to get the exclusives for the trailers. He didn't have the reins like the producing of the show or what happened on the show.
I thought he had a lot of consulting to do with
yeah, with like developers and stuff to yeah, content in terms of like the game, like the exclusive game trailers and stuff like that. Right. That's who he works for is Game Trailers. So it's kind of like a partnership between Spike and Game Trailers, and then that was basically his thing was to go out there and
okay,
from what I've read anyway.
When I see executive producer, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah,
dude,
I don't
you
think
you should know better.
Yeah, if he was in charge of any of that other stuff, like I could be wrong. I'm just going by what I've heard, what I've read. If he had it in charge of any of that other stuff, like celebrities that got and everything, and God, I hope it wasn't him. I know it couldn't have been. There's no way. I mean, last year he was kind of like the Felicia Day role, I guess.
Yeah,
like he was the one in between exactly. segments, but he was interviewing. From what I remember, he interviewed developers and stuff.
Yeah,
I think.
He was interviewing and everything. You know who else was an executive producer? Now that I think about it, fucking Chuck.
Really?
Yeah, he actually put some money. I guess he wanted the freedom to actually, you know, talk about what he wanted to, which is really cool. So he wrote the majority of his material.
That's kind of cool.
Which is respectful. I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm just gonna go and say it. I would love to have him back next year. I thought he was great.
He did a good job. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Definitely. So, do we have any more emails or no?
That's what I was going to say. Speaking of good jobs, Rob Paris did a great job in sending in our last email of the show. He says, "Hey guys, it's been a while, but this is your slightly friendly Brit, Rob Paris."
Slightly friendly.
Heard he's kind of a slight dick. I thought that this year's awards were considerably better than in previous years. So far, more suitable host. And I say that as a huge MPH fan and far less cheesy jokes that appeal to the lowest denominator. I have two major complaints, however, and they are whichever Jonas Brother that was and Felicia Day.
Whoa.
Let me first state that as a giant geek, I love Felicia Day. I am a fan of many of her projects, but really, this was the best use of her you guys could have found. I would have much rather had her talking to some of the winners and nominees before and after the awards, all two of them, and come on, guys, let's give out some more awards to this award show. The Spider-Man leaping thing just made me cringe. I do, however, give props for including someone like her in the production in the first place. As for generic American pop singer number 42, that was just unnecessary. If they had removed his input altogether, it would have had no detriment to the show whatsoever. In conclusion, it's getting better, but I think we're still a couple of years off from seeing it be worth, seeing that it would be worth keeping in the long run. Love, Rob Paris, sent via the wonder of the internets.
So wonderful. It is wonderful. And magic.
We did touch on these, so, and it seems like he's in pretty much agreement with us that the Jonas Brother was not necessary, and Felicia Day, I think that she belonged there, just not in the role that she
just
was.
Just misused. Yeah.
I mean, Jonas Brothers, I'm not sure if people still go crazy for them, but could you imagine if they said, like, hey, as dumb as would be, where Justin Bieber's going to present an award or going to be performing, that would just make that many more people watch the show.
Greatest ever.
Just sad.
I'm all about them Biebers.
It's sad. It's just so true, though, and that's probably what they're trying to do. They're trying to get, like, every demographic, like, okay, how can we get the teenage girls? Jonas Brother.
How can we get the teenage girls?
Yeah, there we go. How do we get the dudes who pay attention to supermodels? Oh, we're going to get fucking Brooklyn Decker up there and eat cupcakes. Which I didn't mind. But not because it was on the VGAs. It could have been on anything. It would have been like, hey, whatever.
I'm okay with that. Okay. So before we end off, what did you guys think of what was announced? The different games they showed.
Yeah, we got to talk them games, man. Okay. Last of Us, to me,
let's not go into major detail because we do have a video out there that, you know, of us talking about them, but I want to get Jeff's input.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So like, stop talking.
Well, go,
no,
game
I mean,
by
you,
game
go ahead. But what I'm saying is, we're not
to me,
go
through, it was the biggest jaw dropping moment of the entire, cause I mean, the Spike TV Awards, it's a big commercial. It's about the announcements and everything. And, when Naughty Dog's, you know, title came up before the Last of Us trailer even, you know, showed, that was the biggest, like, whoa of the night for me. Like, I did not see that coming.
Yeah. Cause it was pretty much a situation where it was, where we both, like, everyone just looked around and was like, well, I guess they're not doing Uncharted 4 right now, huh? You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's definitely not a bad thing. I think I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. I just hope it's not just another zombie game, which I don't think it will be, but.
No, it doesn't look like, I mean, whatever that thing is he shoots, it doesn't really look like a zombie. It didn't have kind of like a weird, like, tentacle head thing or something.
Yeah. And, I'm actually wondering how they're gonna, go into describing how this happens, because one of the things, and I don't remember what it's called, but one of the things that they did to tease it is, they showed an ant with this, like, it's actually has this condition. It's like a disease. They get infected by these spores, and the spores, like, literally take control of the ant's mind and get them to climb to a certain elevation, grasp into a leaf, and stay there. And the spore pretty much grows like a stalk out of its head.
Okay.
So I'm wondering how they're going to work that into the angle. But, you know, after I saw, that like teaser trailer and then saw what they were doing with it, I actually looked that information up, and I don't remember what the name of it is, but I just found it interesting that they were, you know, using something that was, you know, that's an infection to an ant as something that's going to infect a person. So I want to see how they.
It's kind of cool. I want to see gameplay on it. I mean, they just showed like a video like trailers.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be your typical. Well, maybe not typical, but it's gonna be survival horror. And yeah. I mean, it looks great because they showed some real time action, and it was.
I don't buy it was real time action. Not yet.
But it's coming from Naughty Dog.
Yeah, it's gonna look awesome. I think it's gonna look amazing. It's gonna be written really well, but I'm not buying that thing was at all. And I believe it was rendered in engine, like a typical rendered engine.
Right, that's what I mean. But I'm sorry,
there's no gameplay at all to that video.
No, not at all.
And I want to see gameplay on it. I hope it's not just Uncharted in like a different setting with like, right. Oh god, bullet sponge zombies now. Like, oh shit. Like, I don't know.
Well, the game's going to look really, really good because, you know, we drew a lot of comparisons to Enslaved.
Yeah.
We actually got the lead designer from Enslaved, and he worked on this game. He's actually the lead designer in this. So we kind of know we're going to get that post-apocalyptic, you know, vegetation.
And he gets a budget, probably, which is good.
Yeah, no doubt. Much better budget with that.
What else? I was disappointed with the Mass Effect 3 footage they showed, to be honest.
I was really hoping they were going to show what they showed us like at Pound Vegas, because that would have been that scene awesome. Was so touching.
Yeah.
So moving and touching. And it would have been a great, great, you know, a spark for hype, you know, for Mass Effect, since it's only 3 months away. So I was really disappointed that it was that scene. It was a weak scene. It was a cool thing that happened.
What a surprise. They showed a fucking action scene with a bunch of shooting and dodging and bullets.
Yeah, they basically showed a video.
Yeah, exactly. They basically showed like, well, that was gameplay. Like, it had like the thing, but it was just, they showed the shooter aspect, which of course, that's their demographic.
Right.
Like, there's the people that are watching this that are going to, you know, want to play this. Like, oh crap, this game looks like an awesome shooter game. It's like, oh god, it's Mass Effect 3. It still looks great, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's disappointing that BioWare showed that.
Hey, Grimlock. Mm-hmm. They showed Transformers, Fall of Cybertron.
They did show.
Ended off with Grimlock. That's what got me excited.
Yeah. That was pretty badass, actually.
That was probably the best trailer of the night. That was really, it was really good.
Yeah. And those guys, finally, they probably got the cuffs taken off them after making the movie game. And finally, they can make a real sequel to the good Transformers game. Is that next year? It's got to be next year.
Yeah, that'll be.
I think it probably will be. Fortnite didn't look interesting at all to me.
It doesn't interest me either. I mean, it's a Minecraft kind of thing, rebuilding forts and stuff. I mean, sure, Epic's doing it, which I'm sure it'll be okay. But just any stuff like that just doesn't, like Little Big Planet, Minecraft, Fortnite, all that stuff. Just kind of like meh, whatever. Definitely different for Epic though. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And he said, and Cliffy B said it was going to be fun, unlike his other games.
I know, right? It's like, we decided that we're going to do something different. We're going to make a game fun. It's like, what?
Like, really?
Trying to think of what else.
Command and Conquer Generals by BioWare. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, that they're going that route. I'm interested to see what they do with it. I'm not a real time strategy guy, so I think that's what Generals is. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I know
it totally
it's kind
is.
Of it is. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was like a different type of spinoff that's in a different genre, but Spider-Man is returning
Spider-Man,
to open world.
Yeah.
To open world.
Every Spider-Man makes a good trailer though. Even with
that is
it's open world,
true.
Dude, I'll play the shit out of it though. I don't care. Yeah. I mean, you know, Web of Shadows has its issues.
Web of Shadows is decent.
I played the hell out of that game. So
what was the last two though? Like the last one when they debuted the last one at the VGAs last year and it looked awesome.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
And came out to be utter BS. But
yeah, I'm just waiting for the next. Like I want that next game to take the crown from Ultimate Spider-Man from me. I want this to be it.
You want it to be the
and
one.
I'm really hoping it is. I think the reason I like Ultimate Spider-Man so much. I mean, the art style is great and the ability to play as Venom is awesome. They play completely different, but it had its own original storyline, like its own homegrown original storyline. And it's looking like this one's going to be, it's going to be based off the movie. It's going to, you know, the Spider-Man looks like the Amazing Spider-Man from the new movie. I'm pretty sure it's going to use the same voice actors from the movies, but based on all the giant robots that are around, it looks like it's going to be independent from the actual film. So it may not be a movie adaptation. So I'm hoping Beenox
like
is saying, okay, we're going to release a movie, for the movie, we're going to release a Spider-Man game, you know, day and date or week and date with the summer release of the movie. But we're not making a movie video game. So I think they're kind of going in that direction, which may be smart.
So, yeah, kind of like the Wolverine guys did.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which the Wolverine game was way better than the movie.
I love that game.
What else was there? Oh, full Metal Gear.
Rising, yeah. I mean,
so finally confirmed.
Here's the thing about Rising. All right. First of all, Revengeance is a stupid name. I'm sorry.
Whatever. Yeah. Love it.
And the other thing is that I became infinitely more interested in Rising as soon as I saw that Platinum logo.
Yeah, for sure.
So
that goes back to a couple of features ago. I mean, does that developer sell you?
Yeah.
And Platinum does it, man.
I mean, and that's the thing. It's like this. But that's fine with me.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think that they're using the same engine, which is fine. You know, cause that engine's going to do well with that game, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I'm interested now. And I mean, I was interested before, but not nearly as much as I am now.
Yeah. Cause they actually showed a lot of gameplay and it looks really, really cool.
And they said this week that, the game was originally canceled and Platinum came to them and said, hey, you know, let us try and do something with it, you know? So a very interesting circumstance.
Well, actually, I think Kojima went to Platinum because at first they were thinking about going to a Western developer, and they decided that, you know, with the use of a katana, that's going to be the main weapon in the game for Raiden and some other characters in the game. They wanted to stick to Eastern developers. So Platinum was the first person. It was actually an interview posted today on Destructoid where Kojima stated that there's no one that does action adventure better than Platinum games, right?
Hell no. Yeah, man, it is the best character action game I think ever made, in my opinion. But
it's a really good article. I suggest you read it on Kotaku. It's really good.
Cool. If anything, I'm scared. That's really all I had to talk about.
Yeah, sure. I was just going to mention that. If anything, I'm scared. I think that's why the developers pay attention to the VGAs now, is because now it's kind of like an unveiling for them. The last few years has been all about the trailers more so than the awards. And as much as developers might not care about the awards, whatever they. It's still a big audience to show their trailers to. And I have a feeling it's going to be year after year. It's going to be like, what are the big trailers we're going to see at the VGAs? And it's going to always take the spotlight.
Yeah, next you're going to hear, oh, we're going to have a new console announcement.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what
it's going to be. It's going to be a trade show.
Yeah.
And they're going to try and use it as a trade show.
Yeah, to be honest, I'd rather it turn to something like that than what they're trying to do than have it as an award show, really, because I don't think they do a good job of that part at all.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm good. You guys have anything else before we wrap up?
Nope. Who cares? Laugh at them. Watch the Dice Awards. I'm pretty sure it's streamed usually on. I think G4 has done it a couple of years, or the GDC Awards. Those are the ones that matter. Those are the ones that are, you know, the writers and designers, and they're all like voted by their peers and stuff. So
yeah, I would agree. All right, cool. Let's do new releases. This will be quick. For 360 and PS3, Trine 2 is coming out. Downloaded.
Oh shit.
So that's pretty cool. Trine was an awesome game, so if you guys are into that shit, I was listening to Giant Bomb today and they said that they were liking it, so go for that. So pick of the week, not much choice. There you go.
Trine 2. Bye, Rayman.
I don't know if we had any emails, Travis, regular emails?
No, we do not.
Okay, we had a couple of, we asked for Game of the Year emails last week, so that's still out there. We got a couple of those this week.
Yep.
So you guys, send in your, in no particular order, send in your top three games, for Game of the Year. And, we're going to do a listener's Game of the Year show, sometime, probably, early January. So, keep that in mind. Think about what your top three games are and, send them our way. Do we have any of those questions, Jeff?
We do have one. It's not really in this question. It kind of is in this question. This comes from Navishin. He says, are you guys too classy to use arrow in the knee internet meme for your show? If so, thank you. And I totally 100% agree. I think that's the dumbest meme that's come out in like a long time.
Well, I don't think that we're classy at all.
No.
But we will not use that internet meme. So don't worry about it.
We will not. Don't worry. Cool. No worries there, Navishin.
All right. Well, no voicemails either. So slow week this week. I guess everyone's getting ready for Christmas. You guys send in some emails and voicemails, and we'll play them. And we'll read them and play them on the show. So let's move on to question of the week.
All right.
So this is kind of topical. I'm not sure how people will take it, but I'm hoping that we get some decent content from you guys. So Metal Gear Rising. We were talking about this earlier, and you know, we talked about Platinum Games picking it up. We talked about the fact that it was almost canceled. It almost became vaporware. So let's talk about vaporware. So what we want to know from you guys is what games that you were looking forward to ended up vaporware. What games you want back? And at the same time, what games probably should have been vaporware that yes. just kind of just would have been better off never coming out. So there's a couple things to ponder on. To answer the question of the week, send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can follow us on, did I skip something? Yeah. Send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's like Leap, but it's not.
Follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. You can follow us individually as well as Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
That's G-E-O-F-F.
Geoff.
Check us out on Facebook. We have a group called Interactive Distractions Podcast. We have a Google Plus page. Just search for Interactive Distractions. And we're on Steam as well. Interactive Distractions. There you go. That's all I've got. So you guys have anything else before we wrap up?
Nope.
I don't think I do either. So we're going to get out of here. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Zune Marketplace, does Zune Marketplace still exist?
Ask Animated Fan.
Please leave us a review. Animated Fan is going to go on Zune and like leave one star and say they keep making fun
of my
Zune.
Speaking of vaporware.
Oh, nice. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
I'm Jeff.
Play your games. And we'll talk to you next week.